aboard, you people, to Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis,
yes.
Off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Go Bears! I mean, what team was that, really?
Well, I get the Kev. I know you're in St. Louis, and you're, you know,
he's doing his thing,
very
preparing
busy
for the Cubs.
Very busy in St. Louis.
No big deal.
Yeah,
no big deal.
But
where do we start with this one?
Good question.
Did they barely win, right?
Oh yeah, they barely won. It was in overtime, and they actually could have won in, you know, I mean, one assumes you never know what's going to happen if Marcus Collins Sr.
Cooper,
whatever.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He should be gone. I mean, I know the president wants everybody fired who doesn't agree with him, but I think a guy who does what he did in a when he's playing on a mediocre to god awful team, which the Chicago Bears are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is a team, and they're playing against one of the elites of the NFL, and he's going to showboat. You know, when they could actually put their boot on the throat of the Steelers in the first half, and he's going to showboat?
Right. Mm-hmm. That seemed just wrong in all levels. Did he explain it all? I never heard. Did he, Cooper?
Well, he says he thought he was in the end zone already.
Really? Then he's too stupid to play football if he doesn't know the difference between the end zone and the two-yard line.
It's pretty clearly marked, isn't it?
It's pretty clearly marked. That's why they call it the end zone.
I think your whole career, you kind of know exactly where the end zone is, don't you? Kind of.
Yeah, I will.
They learn in Pee-wee.
You should tell your kids about it. This is the end zone. This is not.
Hold on. This is what OB said about it.
Okay.
Go to the callers. There's no sense to even talk about that kid. Okay.
Yeah.
What he
I
does
agree.
was so. I mean, it's beyond. There are no words for that kid. Okay.
I got a feeling.
Outside of stupid.
OB,
I can't
well
wait
said.
To talk to OB. Yeah, if he didn't play a good game at cornerback, I would probably be on board with you guys that there is no reason for him to be with the Bears anymore. But they signed a 3-year deal in March. It's a guy they had high hopes for. He did play very well in his regular position at cornerback. But there's no way to explain the, as you put it, stupid play that he pulled off at the end of the half there. It was inexcusable. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
So
and then the madness
that
ensued after. Because nobody really knew what was going on. And kudos to John Fox. He was able. He got the refs back on the field.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That was good work by you, Coach Fox. And you got that extra play, although.
Yeah. I didn't really understand what was going on. I thought it was a touchdown. Actually, you know what I liked about Marcus Cooper, Sr.?
What?
First of all, that he's a senior. He's a, you know, yes. Well, how old is he? 30? Is he not even 28?
27. 28, yeah.
And he wants to be the senior. You know what? It's okay. Let the kid. I mean, let's just. It's okay. You don't have to be the senior yet, right? So he has to have it on his jersey and all
right.
that.
Well, he didn't look all that grown up at that moment.
No, that confers wisdom when you're a senior, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're trying to do. And then you do the dumbest thing, like literally when he was 8 years old and playing in some pickup game or playing in Pee Wee or wherever he started his football, right? There is no way. That he did not have a coach. He said, you got to run, you know, didn't hear at some point in his career, you got to run through the end zone. You got to do that.
Right.
Got to make that. Don't be doing that stuff. And there's guys with a high step. I mean, there's famous cases of that.
Leon Lett in the Super Bowl.
But, the second most famous now behind this stupid.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
This was so crazy to me because, again, this is the one moment, moment where you're as a Bears fan, you can like enjoy yourself, and what a celebration that is to go up like this. The other thing is too bad for Tariq Cohen. I really wanted that to be a touchdown.
It was a touchdown.
He's sure it was.
I'm pretty sure Tariq it was too, because when you saw it, the problem is they called it not a touchdown and they blew the whistle too. I think
I know.
But nobody had heard that. But it was, there was still heavy pursuit.
That one hurt.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm happy for him, and I was so proud of he and Jordan. Oh my God,
Jordan Howard, what a warrior! I mean, he basically he couldn't even hit guys with his shoulder, and he played the entire game. Not to mention the game winning touchdown.
Yeah,
that was impressive
amazing.
What he did. But it did feel like that Cooper play was looming all second half. Like,
yeah.
Okay, they're going to lose because of that play.
Yeah,
and they
thank
somehow,
God they didn't.
Give him credit. I can't believe they pulled that game off.
I mean, if they lost after that, oh wow. Can you imagine not only how Bears fans would feel, how this guy would feel?
Let me just tell you one last thing about this, and then we'll break for the traffic. This guy, after he was in, he was already like arguing. No, I was right. in. I was right. in.
It was like,
so clear that he was not.
Not even close.
Not even close. No. And the thing is, and he was totally surprised by the fact that he got hit. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't have any sense that even could happen because he's in the NFL. I mean, right. Who knew guys were fast in the NFL?
Yeah, no one's got him.
What a jag! I mean, it was like the D-bag move of all times. Never seen a Chicago Bear, a guy in a Bears uniform. I just have to get this off my chest. I'm so glad. Thank you for this microphone. I really appreciate it, people.
Sure.
I have never seen a guy in a Chicago Bears uniform be such a D-bag. Ever.
Well, they're not really in the team. They don't have the status right now to be doing that either. Even if you ever had a reason to do that.
Right.
They're not in that level right now where they can.
No.
No. Right.
And this guy's played, this is third team, isn't it?
When you're ahead by four touchdowns or whatever, and you're just, you know, you're undefeated.
And you're the
Patriots.
We're the Patriots. Yeah. Even that, it's not, I like when they're celebrating. I even saw that with Zach Miller, you know, he got a first down and he's doing like a first down.
Right.
Don't celebrate first downs.
Well, it's like,
that's what you're supposed to do.
Willie Young a couple years ago, late in the season when the Bears were like, I don't know, 8 or 9 games under 500, and he's celebrating a sack late in the game when they're losing, and he blows his ACL out.
Oh, right.
That was pretty embarrassing as well.
And it goes back to coaching. I know I have a predisposition to be mad about this, but it goes back to coaching. But I got to say that I think there are some individual green shoots here, you know, signs of life. I do love. I think Tariq Cohen is a spectacular. The whole
thunder and lightning in the backfield.
Thunder and lightning.
That's the real deal. Both of those guys.
Great way of looking at it, and I like the game plan to put them both in. So they put them in simultaneously a number of times. I like this that and the third back too is pretty good. He's pretty electric. He's pretty fast.
Yeah, Benny Cunningham.
Yeah,
he's a veteran.
Yeah. He's been around for a while, but he does have cut speed, and that's good. We'll talk about this with OB, but was there one reception? One?
I know late in the fourth, the receiving group had one catch.
Yeah.
The rest were two tight ends.
Yes.
It's good to see Adam Sheehan out there, and I know you still talked to OB about it, but yes, it was mostly the running backs and just little check downs from Mike Glennon because he clearly can't throw the ball down the field.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Trouble.
But they won.
They won.
They won, and they beat one of the best teams in the NFL.
And
I do think, and I watched that Green Bay Packer game, and I think they can beat the Packers.
Ooh, you didn't say that last week. That's a reversal of opinion.
No, well, I mean, if they play well.
Think of how easily this team could be 2-1.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
Atlanta.
They were a goal line stand away from being 2-1 and beating two of the best teams in football.
Yeah. Yep.
But why do they play so bad against bad teams?
Tampa Bay's not that bad, but because Tampa Bay prepared well for them. That's the answer. And that's all I can say to you right now via Letter Potter Medic, other than it's time for you with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
October 9th, Monday Night Football is on WGN-TV. Bears-Vikings kick off October 9th at 7, following WGN-TV Sports. Monday night at pregame at 6:30.
See what we did there, Tom Skelling?
Great song.
Very nice.
Yeah, a little lyrical interlude for you right there about the
heat. I'll tell you.
I'm not minding it, although I must say this. I played the golf on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, brutal.
And brutal. And I got to tell you something, and I was in a cart, right? And I'm still, I mean, even my accelerator pedal foot was tired, was sweating. My toes were sweating. It was that.
Row strong.
It was, row strong. I just want to say that it was, it was like a blast furnace at times.
Yes.
And it's great. I mean, we're getting, you know, we got all the way through September, essentially, in the 90s, which
Cool. We blew away a very formidable deficit that had accumulated the first part of the month. And, of course, we continue desperately dry, but this was the sixth consecutive day 90 or above. Every one of them has set a record. We had a 95 on Saturday. That tied for the year's highest temperature. It's the latest occurring annual high temperature ever in Chicago history. It's the only time in history that we had more than 390s this late in the season. So you just name it. We've got all kinds of records. And by the way, I heard the question John posed.
Yes, what do you think? The stretch of, what, 6-day record
in
a row? We've beaten that before, haven't we?
Look, I ran that by my colleague, Steve Kahn, who's got a photographic memory on these things. He points out that we had 10
90-degree temperatures in a row back in 1953 and 9 in a row in March 2012. So, you know, that's not unheard of. But what is unheard of to have this level of warmth this late in the season? That's pretty amazing stuff.
Yes,
we'll
is.
Have one more 90 tomorrow, and then it looks like the coming 6 days will average about 18 degrees cooler as we get into the cooling cycle, and then the last 18. And rainfall is really sad. We've had 2.83 inches of rain since August 1. That's only 38% normal, just a little over a third normal, down close to 5 inches. So that's why everything's looking burned down, and I'm afraid we don't see a lot of rain on the horizon. There may be an isolated shower tomorrow afternoon, maybe an isolated thunderstorm tomorrow night, maybe a few lake effect showers on Friday and early Saturday morning. But other than that, no big rain. And you know what's interesting? We're going to go back above normal next week. So we have another warm above normal period. As we
what's the week? What does the weekend look like, do you think? I know it's
weekend,
a little ahead of it.
No, the weekend looks it looks okay. There might be a shower off the lake Saturday morning, and it'll only be about 67. That'll be fairly cool. In fact, I calculated this weekend will be about 26 degrees cooler than last weekend. So it's going to be markedly cooler. But we're talking about a 67 on maybe a 66 Saturday and a 70 on Sunday. Then we'll get into the mid-70s much of next week. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's pretty nice.
Well, it's amazing how this weather is, what is it, normally about 20, it's 20 degrees normally lower than this?
It is, yes.
And so you've got all these events that would be, you know, like the half marathon was on Sunday. 12,000 runners were out there because this is usually a perfect weekend
for running. Somebody wrote me from, I guess they went to the Bears game yesterday, and they said, what was the temperature out there? It seemed awfully hot. And yet that was even with a little lake breeze, but the beaches have been packed.
What was the temperature out there yesterday?
At Soldier Field, it came down to the mid-80s as the game went on, but the high yesterday was 93. Mm-hmm. At O'Hare, and so it was.
I did notice after the game, I went and sat on my deck from Architect.
Yeah,
we'll be hearing about them in about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah,
happened on your Architect deck?
Well, here's what I did. I turned on the Green Bay Packer game, and I was staring at it through the window. And I thought, I wanted to see this because I thought, the Packers lose, and you got two teams playing Thursday that are 1-2. Why? Woo!
Yeah,
why did it be interesting? Right? But they didn't. But you know, Aaron Rodgers was all Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
and that didn't work out.
Pulling through at the end.
But the fun kind of piece here is that it was nice. It was like it was a very comfortable soft air.
It was. We didn't have the high dew points. You know, that's the big difference. We had low and mid 60 dew points. We're in the mid 50s right now with the dew points. That makes
that's
this
good,
92
right?
A fairly comfortable 92.
Yeah,
unless
I don't
you're really
I understand that stuff.
I don't either. It's 92. It seems like warm, hot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 92 buried with a Gulf Coast type 70 dew point is really miserable. Yeah. But when you marry it to a 55, that's tolerable unless you're really out there working. And
by the way, that's illegal in 48 states to marry those two things together right now. Anyway, the point is, what I'm trying to get to here is we've had a lovely, it was a great time. We had a nice winter.
Yeah.
We had a very, you know, a little up and downy kind of spring, but it was still, we had some spring, which sometimes we don't get.
Sure.
And then you know, obviously we had all that, those devastating rains up north.
Right, early in the summer. It was
gorgeous. Pretty
great.
How great it's been through September. If we can eke out, all I'm asking for here, people.
Mm-hmm.
I just want everybody to concentrate. We're all working toward the same thing.
Let's will it to happen.
If we can eke out a decent October and then a little into November, then we're okay. We get through November. You know, December and January are really the hardest months. February can be really hard, but at least, you know, you start to feel like the days get a little longer and you start to feel like we have to just concentrate on where the bad parts are here, people. Mm-hmm. We get through December, we get to January, we could be fine.
Well, you know,
Keep
this in mind, too. Only 4 of the last 24 months have been below normal in temperature. So the persistence would argue for an above normal winter. So would our in-house work on La Nina winters. You do have some Arctic air masses thrown in there, but they tend to be transient. So they pass on by, and you get back into Pacific air, and so there's a volatility to a La Nina winter, and also an increased chance of above normal precipitation, which actually we could use because it's pretty dry. Right. But other than that, you know, Ro, there's no reason to believe that.
I was just fishing for a compliment for you there. Great job, Tom. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, Ro. Really, I didn't have anything to do with it, but I appreciate the compliment.
You covered it nicely. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
See you guys. Happy Monday.
All right.
You bet. Thanks,
Judy's got news coming away 2 minutes. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. I don't know if anybody noticed over the weekend there was something happened with the NFL before the games. I don't know. What was it?
Well, it was funny how it was trending because the London game, even before you really got in the mood for football, right?
9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
you're not ready.
What? NFL headlines already?
You're not ready for that.
And the games in London are always horrible.
Oh, right? The worst.
Because they don't get to sleep.
I think that's part of it, but the teams they schedule always seem to be teams that are in the bottom of their division, are teams that are rebuilt. It's never good teams over there, really. At least it feels that way.
And it's weird because at 9 o'clock in the morning, you're not ready. You're still kind of getting over Saturday football. You know, you're still getting, like, I still
digesting
had
the college.
Like, what are you going to do? You got to stretch and stuff in the morning before you get ready for some more football.
I went to bed with, you know, like watching the Colorado Washington game, right? Because that was like I was, you know, pulling for my. I like the Buffaloes. Always have.
Okay.
My host at Windy City Live, Ryan Cheverini, played for Colorado. His brother is the offensive coordinator at Colorado.
Forgot that coach.
I mean, that's like it's kind of a whole thing. So I'm pushing for it, and they didn't do well.
No.
And I love watching a game late on Saturday night because it's sort of like it just never ends. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning, never ends. And then, but I'm ready to start at noon again after I've watched the morning news shows. And then all of a sudden I'm getting notifications about some game going on right now between two teams. I wasn't even sure we're still in the league.
I know.
Right?
It totally took me by surprise.
And then they were coming out, and I thought, oh no, I did. I was a little bit disappointed that they did the demonstration there overseas. I mean, I get why they did it.
Oh, they were the first to respond, to be able to respond to the
president's
comments.
Just didn't like the idea of it because it's over there. I'd rather them do it here. I'd rather the
other
players
part about
it
that
here.
Struck people the wrong way is that they stood for the, you know, for the London, what is it, their national anthem version, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Then they took the knee for ours, and I just felt like, well, didn't they
had
some problems
the
with them? God Save the Queen.
Yeah.
That's right. You know.
All right.
Didn't we break away from them at some point?
Brad Sesmet is joining us right now. He is ABC Sports correspondent in Phoenix. And tonight, we're expecting this. The ante keeps going up a little bit because every team did this in a little different way yesterday, including, I think, one of the most interesting standouts of this was the choice that Pittsburgh took when they took the field here by not taking the field, except for Villanueva, who came out, who was a West Point graduate, a graduate decorated soldier in the War on Terror. And so he's like a guy that wanted to, you know, go out there and stand there and, you know, put his hand to his heart, and which is, you know, his team totally supported, they say, totally supported himself in. But the other one stayed in the locker room. What do we expect tonight in Phoenix as the Cardinals, or in Glendale, as the Cardinals take on the Dallas Cowboys? Do we know?
Well, Ro, first, thanks for having me on, and Anna, too. And I'll get to that in a second. But back on your story about Villanueva, highest-selling gear in the last 24 hours for all NFL players, Alejandro Villanueva. Who would have had that, right?
Yeah.
So, clearly, it's more than Tom Brady. People want his gear. So tonight, here's the thing. The Cardinals and Cowboys, there's been six teams so far that have not had any form of protest before the game, during the anthem. The Cardinals and Cowboys are two of those teams. The Cardinals and Cowboys, both over the weekend, the Cardinals in particular, I've just heard peripherally the Cowboys have meetings on this. The Cardinals, Saturday morning, had a four-hour meeting, their owner, Michael Bidwell, conference called in to talk to the players specifically about this. You also have Pat Tillman being honored with a statue out front of the facility.
Oh, man.
Phoenix.
The timing. My God.
Mm.
You also have the news today of Senator McCain's brain cancer being much worse, of course, here in Arizona. I mean, you have a lot and he's an enormous Cardinal fan. You have a lot just floating around before kickoff, which will be your time tonight between 7:20 and 7:30, Roe and Anna, tonight. That will be the window of where the anthem is hitting. So 5:20 to 5:30 out here in Phoenix. So I think the country is going to watch to see what type of display, obviously, between two teams that have not shown any form of protest.
Well, so is there an...
There's no statement or anything
so,
like that?
So do you believe that the Cardinals will not make a statement? Do we know? I mean, all of that adding up?
We don't... So what we don't know is, I do know this, the players, led by Larry Fitzgerald on the Cardinals side, have said they're going to be unified in whatever they do. That sounds great, but I'm sure Villanueva was going to be unified with whatever the Steelers did, or at least they thought he was going to be, and he showed his form of protest. Look, an NFL locker room, you're talking about close to 60 players, and I've had some really smart minds tell me through the years, an NFL locker room, an NBA locker room, Major League Baseball locker room, it's really, if it's NFL, it's 52 corporations on 52 different islands that have 52 different agendas. You have to bring them all together at one point in time. And so whether it's their religious belief, their belief on the government side, the criticism from
their business interests, which I think is a lot of the deal there, right?
Mm-hmm.
These
sure,
guys. Yeah.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Endorsements and... You're going to put your endorsement, you're going to put your brand in harm's way. Back to your point, Roe, yesterday morning, out here at 6:20 a.m., I get up and I see Anquan Boldin, a great former Cardinal on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Like, okay, there's something that's not quite right today.
Right.
In the first few minutes, like, okay, I put on Facebook yesterday, if you don't like sports and politics being mixed, you better go back to bed. Because mm-hmm. that's all yesterday was. And for some, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I've not seen in 30-plus years of sports this type of unity from the players, whether it be the NBA side, the column that Steve Kerr wrote to SI over the weekend where he begged the president, you lead us. You need to unite us. This is coming from an NBA president mm-hmm. towards the president of our country.
Yeah. Can I also... to follow up on that point, you had
sure.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. today. Of all athletes, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who comes from the most red state intensive sport, NASCAR, whose you know father died on the track, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, at Daytona, whose own storied career. Has been, you know, one of, you know, he's royalty in that industry, and that's a sport that they just recently had to ban the union, the Stars and Bars flag, the Confederate battle flag, you know, from the cars. I mean, it was like, you know, this is right. this is a very, 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 you know, one would imagine that there's a great cross section of Trump supporters who are also NASCAR fans.
Mm-hmm.
And for Dale Earnhardt Jr. to come out and be critical of the president, for Robert Kraft, the very dear friend of the president, at least they show mm-hmm. friends, if not real friends. I mean, they certainly act like it. And, you know, for people to you know, come down in total on this, because the conversation started with Colin Kaepernick about this. And it was... You know, for right or for wrong, whether that has actually cost Colin Kaepernick his, you know, job prospects here in the NFL, you know, is all debatable and will probably be talked about. But if he doesn't come back this season with all the guys who are getting hurt, it'd be really much of a surprise. And we as Chicago fans, we know that if Jay Cutler got picked over him. And you saw how that worked out in my
saw
you know,
that game.
In the
did he throw a major interception again? I thought
he
was responsible
just,
for that.
It was just a typical Cutler performance as he was mm-hmm. playing in MetLife Stadium, you know, against the hapless New York Jets. I mean, it was like not
he
so
got
great.
Crushed.
Yeah, so it was not so great. So the reality here is that the conversation started about policing and about how African Americans feel about police. Their interactions with police
right.
and stuff like
right.
that. And that's a conversation that is, you know, that is well to be had. the president, not just, you know, and, you know, somebody say, well, the president has a right to comment on that. And there's certainly a lot. It's an easy target because these are rich guys who've taken advantage of the system and they've been beneficiaries. They've been the winners in America as opposed to the losers in America. So, you know, how dare they, you know, not respect the flag or the military? And that, by the way, the military has nothing to do with this, but it's a second issue for Alejandro Villanueva. It does, because he's a, you know, decorated soldier. But you know, that's a separate. I would like to keep that separate because I have a little bit of you know, we'll get to that a little bit later on about why I think that should be separate. But this is a moment where we can have this conversation. But by taking a knee or doing whatever you can do, if it's a silent protest during a national anthem, I mean, there's nothing that to me is an American. That's an American promise.
Well, it's protected.
Whether you agree or you don't.
Tonight. When the anthem is played, and whether there are protests or not protests, and the story is going to be twofold. Jerry Jones already said, my guys aren't going to protest, or I'd fire them. Well, we'll see about that, one. Two, the Cardinals haven't had anybody protest as of yet either. So you have two teams that have never gone through that. That's one side of it. Then there will be the protest. Then there'll be the after the protest. Then there'll be 3 weeks from now we're talking about this. This has been a 14-month dialogue, guys.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's a protest been going on for 14 months now. So. Yeah. It just came, and in my opinion, you know, trying to put the news reporter side, but the opinion out there, this was a story that was starting to die out. Okay, some players are taking a knee. Well, the president decided to take not just a little jar of gasoline, a big jar of gasoline and some matches.
Napalm. Napalm. Right, it was a gigantic barrel bomb of napalm. And by calling them sons of bitches, I mean, come on now.
I know.
I mean, he's the president of the United States. Act like it. Be responsible. All right, we got to go. But Brad, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad Sessman.
You got it, guys. Stay well.
From Phoenix, ABC Sports contributor out there. All right, let's now find out from Violetta what the hell's going on with the SOBs on the roadway.
What I'm surprised about is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, people were, Danny's got them picked to go to the Super Bowl, and people were talking about, you know, Big Ben's on his game. They have a great receiver in Brown. They're 2-0. They're coming in here. They're playing a team that can't find their way out of a huddle.
We're in overtime now.
Yeah, and we're in overtime. It's unbelievable. But the Bears, they got what they're still in it. They could win it.
And
finally,
it's been a long time since that has happened.
1-3. Oh my God.
There he is, the great OB right there. And here he is, the great OB right here on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And all I can say is that, and I always start every conversation with OB by saying, all I can say, because all I do is now watch the Bears and think about what OB's reaction is going to be to everything. Which, you know, any time the Bears have sucked in the last number of decades, I always had, whether it was here or other radio stations, and, you know, whomever your partner was, the great Dan Hampton or the legendary Doug Buffone, I had to hear what you guys were going to say right after the game, especially when it was bad, right? I mean, I think it's where you really shine. And when I saw the stupidest play I have ever seen by a player in a Chicago Bears uniform, thank God he didn't have the C on his helmet because they had this stupid...
Yeah, like
retro outfits that make them look like it that like they didn't want to pay for the extra sticker on the helmet. I thought, oh my God, if I just want to know what it would be like to be with you while this is happening, and what you broke, what did you do, what when you saw this Collins, whatever his name is,
Cooper.
Marcus Cooper Senior do what he did, what was your reaction, OB?
Well, just like yours, Anna's, Kevin's, the 60,000 people out there. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, we're not talking about a genius. You know, we're 180 the other way. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's so hard to fight for points in the National Football League, and this guy's got a clear path. And, okay, let me find up a way to screw this, because I'm going to get down to the 6-inch line, and I'm going to redefine how you get into the end zone. They'll be talking about me for decades. Wrong.
Oh, my gosh. So wrong.
That that play, you can't find words for it. And anybody, and when he came off, the players are patting him on the back. It's okay. No,
it's not okay.
It's not okay.
Okay. Let's get that out of the way right now. It's not okay. And what should have happened, what didn't happen, his position coach should have grabbed him when he came off the field, put him on a bench, or took him out on the side. Just he and him, and straightened his act out. Nobody did that. Nobody. And that had to be done. I assume it was done after the game, maybe, or today. But, boy, that's a blunder of all blunders in Bear history. I would put other words out there, but I won't.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is when Coach Fox came back out onto the field, the sideline reporter asked him about that, and he wouldn't answer.
Well, we could have played a little bit better in the first half than we did.
Now, that's not your answer.
He doesn't seem to want to call individual players out.
Well, it's okay. In general, that's probably an okay rule. In this particular case, there is not an excuse in football or the rules of physics that guideline the universe that can explain how it is that a guy, when you are on a sucky team who is beating and about to put your boot on the throat of one of the
Steelers.
Great teams in the NFL, how you could decide to make it about your own sweet ass.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
And that's what I want to ask OB about that, because his response when asked about it, Cooper's, was, well, I thought I was already in the end zone. Do you believe that, or do you think he's just pure and simple? He was showboating. He thought he had it.
He's lying. He's lying. I mean, come on. I'm not buying any of this stuff. What you saw is what it is, okay? And where John Fox was wrong with that answer, Roe, that you were talking about, he should have said, no, that was not acceptable. And what I'm going to do, when we get in the locker room, I'm going to sit him down and we're going to have a talk. But to say it's acceptable or whatever, or I don't know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do, that is totally and completely wrong and irresponsible on Fox's part. Yes, it was a giant mistake. Yes, it will be corrected in the locker room after the game. That's what should have been said by Fox instead of diddly-daddling around and, tiptoeing through the tulips.
Yeah, diddly-daddling. I'm with you. There'll be no freaking diddly-daddling around here, man. It was like, and they won the game, and there was a moment, I can't believe I actually have this instinct, because I bleed blue and orange. I was a moment where I was like, I hope they lose this game, because this will be the moment where they have to come to the reckoning that this organization has serious, serious problems. And you're not, unless you can acknowledge it and admit to it, you're not going to be able to fix it. And that's the sort of moment that's an individual. These guys are adults, they're professionals. It's different than teaching high school or college guys. But it's still a moment where it's about the integrity of your squad. And that guy showed not only no integrity, he showed reverse integrity. He made it all about himself, and he risked the outcome of the game as opposed to leaving it on the field. And then on the other side of the ball, you have two guys. You had Jordan Howard, who was, I think, one of the most heroic performances I have seen by a Chicago Bear. Not since Walter Payton have I been more proud of Chicago Bear running backs than, in the Payton Roland Harper years or the Payton Matsui years. Two guys, there were three guys there who would give their all to everything that they were doing. And this is a moment where those two young men out there against, they risked their bodies, their souls were on the field. And then this moron who had the ball end up in his arms and nothing but 80 yards that he had to run against a kicker. And so whoever the guy was caught him was a wide receiver, fine. I mean,
embarrassing. It was.
Hey, OB, the lone bright spots, as Roe mentioned, were Cohen and Howard on the offense. Mike Glennon's pretty much shown us that he can't win the Bears games, but he can certainly lose games. We saw that in week two. Is it time to add another weapon to the offense and promote Trubisky to the top spot?
Well, right now, I don't know if that's the answer. And I don't understand Loggins, our offensive coordinator. I mean, when you throw in a 60-minute game, under today's rules, which is there's a pitch and catch game, there's no question about it, our receivers on the Chicago Bears team in that game yesterday caught one pass.
One.
One pass.
What?
Our two running backs, Howard and Cohen, they caught a total of nine. Our running backs caught nine passes. Our wideouts, our receivers, caught one. Now, here's the the numbers that absolutely knocked me out. You played four quarters of football in today's game, and you gross 101 yards. 101 yards in four quarters of football, passing. Net 84 yards. You're talking basically about passing for 20 yards a quarter. In today's game, that is totally, completely unacceptable. I don't care if Yogi the Bear is at quarterback. My Lord, you can't. Loggins, I'd like to grab him in the corner and sit down and have a nice long talk with him. You need to tell me we have a quarterback that's armless and that's legless and he can't throw the ball?
Oh, no.
He might be one other thing less, too. Don't go there, Opie. I know where you're going.
Come on.
All right.
But Ben Roethlisberger looked inconsistent at best. Was the Bears' defense that good, or was he just having a bad day, or what was going on there?
The Bears' defense, they played good. I mean, they played for any team, and obviously our offense for any team and any day to win a football game. That's how they were good across the board. They had a lot of unbelievable calls of holding that were not an interference, were not called on them. I think Dan Hampton mentioned that several times. I mean, it was unbelievable what the Bears got away with. But so saying that, but defensively, Anna, if they can come every week like that, I can tell you we can be in every game. But boy, offensively, Loggins, you're the offensive coordinator. My God, we went out, and I'm speaking to Loggins now, our brain trust, our head coach, our offensive coordinator, our general manager, our college scouts, our pro scouts, they go out and search the league because we gave up on Cutler to find a quarterback to come in here. They settle on Mike Glennon from Tampa Bay, give him 45 plus some odd million, 18.5 million guaranteed this year, and we're in the third. We just played the third game, and our quarterback throws one pass to a wideout in 60 minutes of football. That defies the word impossible.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does.
It really does. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, we should be they. I don't know what has happened here, but the Bears won a football game in September, which they have not done right. In three seasons. They beat an excellent team. They play, as you point out, the defense played well, and you have two, you know, very, very, very good, maybe ending up to be great running backs that we get to see that are ours, and they're under contract, they're ours for a while,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, there's some really great positives that came out of this. Offensive line, I mean, they were, you know, tons of injuries. That's, you know, creating all kinds of problems. But they adjusted to it as well as they possibly could. You know, when you all of a sudden your center shows up back on the sideline after going off and getting hurt with a cast on his hand, you're like, you know, what the hell's going to happen there, right?
Yeah.
And but you do have a guy, you have a quarterback who can't move. You got a quarterback who, when he throws the ball, and I was hitting these guys right in the arms. I mean, it's not. I don't really think it's his fault as much as it is the receiver's fault. And how about that Marcus Wheaton? Right? I mean, he's. You know, they just got him. They, you know, he's back. He's able mm-hmm. to play, and he is just as armless and blankless as the rest of the receiving corps. Throw it right into his arms. Now, you know, there was always an argument, and you tell me this because you played the game. You know, they used to say this about Rex Grossman, that the ball came out strangely out of his hands, and it was, you know, it made it hard for the receivers to catch the ball. Is there such a thing as that?
I don't know, Ro. I just I can't answer that question.
All right, okay. All
I,
right. I want to ask you another question. I know you can answer. Because I was listening to the show yesterday. I mean, again, I was like, so this. Good. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for the game to be over. I just wanted to hear your reaction. I didn't care if they won or they lost.
As soon as that Cooper play happened, I'm like, I got to hear what you guys say about
it. That's all you got to have. You know, I just got to, oh my God, what are they going to do? What's OB going to say? So I tune in. And then I heard you talking about with Hampton about your Emmy nomination. And for Brian's song. Which was, you know, a great film. I mean, if you go back, it was the first time I cried watching television.
Yeah.
You know, it was on Brian's song. I remember I was a little kid, and I was beside myself because it was like, it happened before I really understood who Brian Piccolo was. I was too young to understand what happened to him. But then at seeing it in the movie, I was like, oh my God, it was the most it's a beautiful, beautifully done made for television movie, which back then they didn't make great made for TV movies like they do now. And you talked about you having an Emmy nomination, and then you said Robert De Niro, but James Caan actually won the Emmy that year for Brian's song. And you said you had an Emmy nomination, and we looked it up, OB, and I can't find it. Now, what the hell are you doing here? What's going on?
What's going on?
Bro, I lied.
Okay.
What do you want from me?
All right, good. That's all I wanted. Because I'm sitting there, like, I'm going with you, but I like the fact that Hampton didn't know what to do with it. That I thought was the best part of that radio show yesterday. Because
I have had a lot of fun with that. You know, people talking about Brian's song and all that, and I compare Robert De Niro and I. He just nipped me at the wire in votes. He had 5 million and one, and I had one.
Exactly. It was great radio, and thank you for giving me a little bit of levity, because even though the Bears won, I should be enjoying myself, and I know I can't, because I know that this team is not playoff bound, and they, under this configuration with this coaching staff, cannot be, and this management style. I mean, I don't know what they have to do, and I've never been one of those people, because I, you know, it's hard as a Bears fan. You know, the McCaskey family has provided a lot of entertainment to the city. And there's always been, you know, people always hate the owners no matter what, right? I mean, even the, you know, Jerry Jones, I hate Jerry Jones, and think of, look at all the stuff he's done, right? It's like this, people always want to beat up on the owners. I happen to have a lot of respect for the Hallis family, the McCaskey family, and the Villio family, all the people who are involved in it. I just do not, I just don't know that they're making the right decisions here, because it's a mess. It is a mess.
This situation, after 3 years of Pace and Fox, you know, we've had wound up with some good drafts and some not so good drafts over the past 3 years.
This was a good draft, though. I think you got to argue this was a good draft.
There's no question about it. But I will tell you this: if you think that management, ownership, management, and coaching are going to openly admit that they've made a mistake or they've been going in the wrong direction, that will never happen. But I can tell you, it is just absolutely unbelievable. I would love for once, when a season starts, to hear a coach, a player, talk about, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Just say that. Yeah. That's why you play the game. Ro, Anna, and Kevin, my God, you spent all your years in grade school, high school, college, getting to this level. You're supposed to have the best coaches, and the ultimate thing is to be a world champ.
Yeah, right. Wait, hey, you know what? Lovie Smith said that. This is one of those things that you know, a lot of people want to criticize Lovie Smith. I would take him right now, and in a nanosecond. Because remember, he said the first thing he had to do was beat the Packers. Second thing he had to do was win the division. Third thing he had to do was go to the Super Bowl. And in 3 years, he did it.
First thing you have to do is win the Super Bowl. Everything else will come in. And that's, Ro, please believe me. I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Your thought, my God, if your thought is not to be a world champion every year, and that's what you come to training camp for, exhibition, and start the 16-game schedule, then get the hell out of the game. There's too much heartache, too much blood, sweat, and tears put in over all these years, and we want to play. Well, we're going to shoot for 8-8. Well, we think we can win. One out of the first three games.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, Lord God Almighty.
Yeah, all right. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But at least I want winning. I would like winning. All right. Yeah. Oh God. OB. Thank
Green
God
Bay.
For you.
Green
yeah.
Bay.
Couple of days rest. Thursday.
Anna,
night.
Let me ask you guys some questions.
Okay.
Anna, quickly.
Quick.
The Bears going to beat Green Bay up there?
I think they have a chance. I would have said no a few days ago. I think they have a chance.
Why? Why?
Because Green Bay didn't seem to be Green Bay. I mean, I guess I watched the game yesterday, and they felt like at the last minute, Rodgers came through for them. But if the Bears' defense is that good, can they shut down Rodgers? Can we do enough to get it done? Maybe.
I think
I like to believe.
I'm with
I'm
Anna. I think there's a chance that they can win this game. A because they do have a lot of injuries themselves. Rodgers obviously was all. You know, played great yesterday at the end of the game. He played when he had to play very well, and they he's got this ability to catch guys on the corner, tiptoe catches. You know, obviously they practice that.
It looked beautiful.
The Bears have to shut that down. But you know what? I mean, how many times? Our whole lives, we've been watching these games between these two franchises, yep. And you never know.
You never.
I mean, who could forget back in the 90s, right? That right after Walter Payton died, and then that mystery hand that blocks the, you know, the field goal from the 2-yard line. I mean, it's just like a, it's a crazy thing.
I'm going to be hopeful. I can't pick the Packers. I just can't.
I can't either. All right, we got to run. OP, thank you so much. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there he goes. Whew, Violetta.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired!
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I don't know, what happened to my little town?
Yeah, that was the Alabama rally, right?
When yes.
He was pitching for the Senate candidate of his
yes.
choice.
Well, actually, halfway through that rally, he backed off his own candidate there. I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, sort of, well, if we don't win. There is just a, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What I want to do here, we have a few minutes. And I'd like to take some phone calls and let you just sound off on this. I'll get out of the way.
Okay.
My thoughts on this are already fairly clear. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Agree or disagree with the president or me or anything else like that. My view on this is that it is the most, if you wish to take the national anthem, and observe it in your own level of solemnity, as long as you're not bothering anybody else, it's an American promise that you can do that.
Freedom, right, afforded to us.
I would not sit down during it. I also don't applaud during it. I mentioned this on TV this morning, mm-hmm. or this afternoon, whenever the hell we're on. There was a, at the Hawks games, people go nuts. If I started applauding or moving or fidgeting during the national anthem when I was a kid, I would get hit in the head.
Yeah, well, you and I are both children of veterans, and I know I remember the look in my dad's face when the flag when people would sing the national anthem, and that's the way I approach it. That I look at it with such respect, and I understand the right to protest, and I understand what they're protesting. It's my choice to stand up, put my hand on my heart, and.
Right.
And that's the way I respect it.
Remember when the president forgot to put his hand on his heart during it and Melania had to move his hand? Right? I mean, so let's not the point of this is that people celebrate it, and I don't mind if people want to do it, but it's interesting, like when I'm at a Hawks game and I'm not doing that, I'm not applauding. I have had people say to me, "What's wrong with you?"
Well, and that's their choice too. I mean, I don't knock those people for doing that.
No, I do, but they can do it. It's not the protocol. It's not the way that I was raised in that. And so I would always stand up. I would put my hand on my heart, right hand on my heart, and left hand behind my back. And that's how I do it. But I'm honoring the United States when I'm doing that. I'm honoring this whole crazy experiment that we've got.
Yeah.
This isn't about an individual. And by the way, and there's something else I want to point out. This isn't about the military.
No.
Necessarily. what people are conflating there is that the, you know, the service personnel have a very specific way of handling it, including that whether
Alejandro Villanueva you're talking about?
Yes.
The way he handled it.
If you're wearing, you know, if you're in uniform and you're outdoors, you salute, right? And all that. I mean, there's like a whole, you're wearing your hat, you know, the salute. There's a whole protocol to what the military does there. But this is a celebration. The national anthem is a celebration of the United States of America. The United States of America also promises people that they do have the right to protest. They do have the right to be heard. They have a right to disagree with their government, unlike most other governments in the history of humanity. Right.
We should mention Governor Rauner has weighed in on this, siding, I guess you could say, with Trump, saying that he obviously the rhetoric he doesn't, that he didn't mention the SOB comment, which I think got a lot of people angry. But he said, I strongly disagree with those who disrespect our flag and our anthem. That's his position. He's a part owner of the Steelers, too. I did not know until I saw that article. There you go.
I just wonder also, why is the president bringing this up now? Why is this?
Because he's not going to get health care.
Right. So what is this masking? Why does he want us talking about this as opposed to, you know, North Korea, health care, the natural disasters going on?
Well, he was bringing it up at a campaign rally, and he certainly was playing to the audience there when he brought it up. And that's a big part
and
of it.
It was a whole performance thing where he said it first, and then he does a thing where he walks around sort of preening, and then he comes back. You're fired! You know, it's a rallying point. Although, if you ask Luther Strange who that rally was actually for, how he feels about
Donald Trump.
How he feels about Donald Trump right now, is like, hey, wait, he kind of like stabbed him. This is that's a separate issue. It started the conversation here. He started the conversation. I'd like to take the president out of the conversation and have this conversation American to American. Dave, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I find it rather amusing. 3 years ago, the football commissioner and them folks basically had a problem with some other people taking a knee during the game or, you know, before the game or during the game. Oh, that's right. They were religious guys and they were praying to God. And they didn't like that, so they outlawed it from those people. But they got no problem with these people. Now, these people are the same people that, let's see, do dog fighting, beat their wives, beat their kids, and have numerous kids out of wedlock that they don't pay for. So the last thing I need to do is get some moral equivalent from a bunch of goofballs.
Yeah, I think only the president with his penchant for Twitter wars could make the NFL and Roger Goodell seem like sympathetic characters. I mean, I think that's the part of it I understand. It sort of feels like, wait a minute, the NFL kind of took a knee when it came to domestic violence, didn't they? I mean, they sort of did.
Okay, I said I wasn't going to comment.
Right,
I'm not going to comment.
Right.
Elizabeth, you're on WGN.
Hi. I think you're absolutely right. This was a diversionary tactic by Trump. I'm not even sure he believes what he said. Everything has to be about him all the time. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is a non-issue. We need to be working on health care, education, poverty, racism, you name it. We got a dozen other things that need attention. This is nonsense, absolute nonsense. He had the right to do what he did, take a knee. They have a right. Let's get over it, shall we? Mm-hmm. Really.
I think I do want to clarify that it was not made illegal by the NFL to take a knee. And Tebow was not doing it during the anthem. He did it during, you know, do it before the game. Mm-hmm. He would pray.
It was a moment of prayer.
Right.
Did you see the 97-year-old World War II vet from Missouri who also kneeled in solidarity to say, I want people to know we love everybody? That was a trending visual of a 97-year-old man down on his knees who fought in World War II.
Debbie, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Debbie.
I'm sorry. Hi, I didn't know you were waiting for me. I have a problem with it because these guys are at work, and they're getting paid a lot of money to work, and they don't need to protest on work time. I couldn't do it at work. I'd get fired or at least reprimanded. So how is it fair for them to do it at work? That's what my issue with it is.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. They're in show business, I think, is how that works, because they're on camera. They're being paid to be seen by audiences. And it does have something to do with it, though, because it's you're going to go see those guys, right? And so the people are paying the admission and watching the television to see those guys in action, right? And so firing them isn't really, it's not a practical reality. They know
it. I get that. And that's their platform. But what are they doing when they're not there? Are they doing anything about this?
Well, some of these guys are. I mean, that's the. I mean, some of these guys have come out, and that's. And I, you know, I'm just I'll engage you here for just a second on this. Some of these, some of these players, you know, they have foundations. They go back into their communities. They do. They do the work. They try to, you know, educational opportunities for kids and other kinds of deals. I mean, we've had a number of these guys on, former Chicago Bears,
absolutely,
Izzy Adonijay and people
doing
like that who go off and do that kind of stuff. And
right,
there is
it because of the police thing that's what supposedly this is about.
Yeah. Well, and some people do.
I mean, you have to differentiate between what this actually started, you know, and then, you know, they're saying, well, we go into the communities and we do this, but that's not what taking the knee was in, you know, the intention of it was. It was protesting the police brutality and things like that. That does not need to be done at work. I mean, and I understand that's their platform. They are entertainers, whatever. Yeah. They're very highly
their work is a lot different than our work. I can tell you
well,
that right now.
I suppose
now.
It is up to them. It is up to their employer.
Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate it. It is up to the employer.
It is up
they're
to
not going to fire them, though.
Jerry Jones has said this isn't the place.
Think about this. They have to do that at their place of work. They didn't, you know.
You don't have to do the national anthem at your place of work.
I mean, but they do. You know what I mean? The players didn't ask for that, so. Right. We don't do it here. That's why you wouldn't do it on work time.
Right.
She's talking about something similar, though. I feel like there's some kind of similar thing in
a
regular work environment.
Picture of two Chicago police officers taking a knee with a civilian today at a at a police headquarters or a police district headquarters, and the there is there's a ton of reaction to it today because these are Chicago police officers. In uniform, you don't have the right to be political in uniform as a police officer, you know? And so it's going to create its own set of issues here.
It will.
This is the dividing line. This is the crazy thing where the president is actually, he starts the fire, but then refuses to put it out. And he doesn't want to engage.
To admit that he's fanning the flames of both sides, really, when it comes down to it.
All right. Here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Brokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. All right, you know what it's time for, don't you?
We do. It's the top 5 at 5 on the Brokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the top 5 on the Brokan Show. Let's go.
Here we go. I have a $50 gift certificate. Would somebody like one?
Oh! Who wouldn't?
To Builder Supply Outlet, to the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom in Broadview at the Builder Supply there, or also the Edge Standalone Store in Orland Park. How about that?
Very nice.
How about that? 19th caller, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. The Chicago Blackhawks are going to play a preseason game coming up in just a few minutes right here on 720 WGN. So why not honor our captain, our captain? All right. Checking in at
number 5.
All right. Last night, Oprah.
Yes.
Was on the 60 Minutes.
Absolutely.
She went to Grand Rapids, Michigan to investigate what happens in the group dynamics when people talk about Donald Trump. She invited people from the left. Actually, Frank Luntz, the pollster, invited people from the left and the right, the people who voted for him, people who didn't, and they all sat around a table and they all decided whether or not they liked him or each other.
Do you think most of America gets what it takes to do what you do out here every day?
Unfortunately, I believe the vast majority of Americans really have no clue what it takes to do a lot of what we do out here. I mean, everything you see behind us, all these apples are handpicked. Every apple in the United States is hand harvested. There are no machines for this. So we depend on migrant labor, on skilled migrant labor to come in and do this.
So how are the immigration laws going to affect you being able to get workers to do this?
Personally, I think we probably ought to let more people into this country at some point. But we have to have a handle on who's coming in, when they're coming in, where they're coming from, all these things.
It's a very interesting issue because this was in the extras, 60 Minutes Extra last time we were talking to the...
Is it farm territory in California where she...
No, she was in Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. Then.
Yes.
Okay,
the
I did
apple
hear about
farms
the Michigan
in Michigan
part of it. Oh.
And this is a big, big, big issue. I mean, if you that's when it comes to immigration, you think about the farm workers. You think about the people who are working in all versions of agriculture.
Absolutely.
And it's a and there is a ton of people coming from Mexico and Central America who come up and do this.
Growing our food, harvesting it, sometimes living on the farms, and it's work that doesn't seem a lot of native borns are in line for.
All right, there is more.
So if President Trump were here right now, what would you advise him about immigration?
I would advise the president to continue the path to securing the border, because we have to have a secure national border. I agree.
Does that mean building the wall?
I think it does mean building a wall, but it has to be a wall with, as he said during his campaign, I think it was a big, beautiful door in it or something to that effect. We need immigrant workers to come into this country for a variety of skills and positions, and we allow them to come in and to fill jobs that we have here.
All right.
So she was talking to regular folks in Michigan on both sides, right? Who some
right.
had voted for Trump,
this was,
some
this
who
is
didn't.
Part of the 60
this
minutes,
was separate.
This is 60 Minutes Extra. Is also part of the piece. In the piece that ran on television
That's
last night, it was the roundtable, mm-hmm. and it was people, you know, and you know, just it's very predictable what everybody's position was going to be. But what I found fascinating though is people, you know, pretty. You know, pretty tough with each other. And Michigan Nice, as they called it, mm-hmm. sort of broke down over the table last night as people were conflicted about whether it was immigration policy or this was done before the whole NFL thing. But
yeah,
it was,
sure.
you know, whatever it happened to be. And Russia, the Russia investigation with one guy. I don't ever want to hear Russia again. What difference does it make? We do it to them all the time. Why couldn't they do it to us? Which doesn't seem like the smartest answer to it, but that's. As far as I'm concerned, but I think a lot of Americans think that.
Yeah, and so, she was allowing people to speak for themselves
right.
to explain where they sit on
yeah,
the issues.
Absolutely, and I thought it was really an interesting piece last night. If you want,
I'm excited about Oprah being on 60 Minutes. It's like a new chapter for her, and you know, she can do that.
Ah, she needs the money.
Number four.
That's probably part of it.
Steve Kerr, Golden State Warrior head coach. Laid into President Trump over the weekend in comments to reporters after the president rescinded the invitation to the NBA champs to come to the White House after Steph Curry was, you know, saying that he and Kevin Durant were probably not going to go and that the team was going to have a meeting about how they were going to handle it. And then the president just basically pulled back and, well.
You're uninvited.
Yes.
The president made it really, really difficult for us to honor that institution. And our differences, I think, in terms of our team and our organization's values are so dramatically different. I'm talking in terms of inclusion and civil discourse and dignity. And it's hard for us every day. You know, we're seeing the things he's saying. I thought yesterday his comments about the NFL players was as bad as anything he has said to this point. So it's awful. You're talking about young men who are peacefully protesting police brutality and racism, racial inequality, peacefully protesting, hallmarks of our country. Come on. This has been very difficult for us to have to reconcile, put it that way.
It's an interesting issue because for the President of the United States to weigh in and say, you can't. You should be fired for protesting.
And then call them SOBs.
Right.
That part of it doesn't unify, it divides.
Right.
And that's what Steve Kerr's point was, bring us together, don't divide us.
And to be, you know, it's, right, right. To call us, anybody who's, these people who are protesting peacefully are SOBs. It flies in the face. And you know, I think people have to look at this in perspective. You know, if people were, if a president got up, you know, a liberal Democrat got up mm-hmm. and called the, you know, the, whether it's NRA or, you know, maybe the pro-life people, SOBs for protesting mm-hmm. somewhere. I mean, you got to think about, I mean, is it really is that really the right thing for the president of the United States to do?
The right message, no.
Here is Steve Kerr talking about meeting other presidents.
You know, it's an incredible honor and you honor the office, you honor the institution. I can speak from personal experience. Doesn't matter. You set aside political differences, right? So, I mean, I've had the pleasure to meet with Reagan, George Bush, Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama. I didn't necessarily agree with all of them, but it was an incredible honor to be in their presence. There was a respect for the office.
And listen, I mean, some people during the Obama years, there's a number of athletes that didn't go. There were some 85 Bears that chose not to go.
Yeah.
When Barack Obama was inviting the 85 Bears back to the, well, I don't know why, but he was.
Why not?
Why?
They should get to go over and over and over.
Why?
They're the 85 Bears.
But anyway, but the point is that you know, people have chosen not to go because they get all sideways on this politically. If I were Steph Curry, I would have gone.
But I think he got every intention of not going.
And you know, and whatever that, you know, whatever the case may be, or your beloved Tom Brady chose not to go.
He did.
But you know, if it were me on a team, I would go. Even if, you know, and I don't agree with a whole lot that that Donald Trump stands for in terms of his rhetorical behavior.
But you're not signaling that. It's America's house. And you're to me, it's like you're going there to be, you know, celebrated by the country for your accomplishments. And that you just got to look at it that way.
Yeah.
By the way, Ben Roethlisberger trending now because he's saying he now regrets boycotting the anthem at the Bears game and reveals the decision left him unable to sleep moving forward. I hope standing for the anthem shows solidarity.
I think going out there and standing at, first of all, I never thought I cared about this until about an hour ago.
Well,
Standing out there, they should have been out there. It was a wussy move. They should have been out there. But the reality is, if people want to kneel and they want to, and others want to stand, and they're all showing solidarity for each other, that's fine too. I don't care.
I don't care
as long as they are peaceful in their deal. I don't think they should burn a flag. But if they want to, you know, show their, you know, this all goes back to 1968, right? Mexico City Olympic Games. The U.S. Olympic 400-meter team standing there with, you know, with the black gloves on. And the black gloves with their fist in the air and their head down during the national anthem. And that was based on an incident that happened in Los Angeles in a police pullover situation during the 1968 Olympic trials. And it's so funny how things have not changed here in 50 years.
No.
It's the same issue and the same situation. So, all right. We will get to your 3-year, 2-year, 1. But first, Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs, team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
All right, checking in at
number 3.
30 years ago today, The Princess Bride arrived in theaters. Was not a box office success, but in home video and on cable.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't be bigger.
Now he loved her oh so much.
Checking in at
number 2.
Physicians and staff at Northwestern's Children's Practice are at it again, producing an 80s-tastic promo video for flu shots.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. I'm getting excited about flu shots.
No, that's what
Already.
You do.
WFLU Chicago.
All right, that's all I need to hear about that. All right, and finally.
Woo, flu shots.
Number 1.
Hey, the woman at the center of the Kevin Hart cheating scandal and sex tape is no one-trick pony. Montia Sabag now has dropped a hint during her press conference last week that she was, of course, a performing artist and a recording artist. Here she is.
Use your lips, kiss on dog faces. We definitely not basic. Hey, I love the way you go down. Oh yeah, you make the screen loud.
Okay.
What?
All right. That's all you need right there.
I think we understand what that's about. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Montia Sabag. You're proving your own point.
No.
My God.
It doesn't help.
No. What part of that don't you understand? All right. Thank God for people like that, though. They make our job so much easier, don't they? All right. Chicago Blackhawks hockey is coming your way in about 2 minutes. Stay right here.
The top 5 at 5.